We'll begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week beginning Saturday, September 3rd, 2005, this is the Rain Report, Ham Radio's weekly audio feature magazine. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. If you missed last week's program featuring Jonathan Anning, NU9N, talking about enhanced single sideband audio, that interview will remain online for the balance of the week, thanks to audio bandwidth being underwritten by CQ Communications. Hurricane Katrina has created arguably the worst natural disaster our country has faced in modern times. While hundreds of ham radio operators are involved in providing logistical support, those with cooler heads are recommending the rest of us not rush in blindly to help. Hap Holly, KC9RP, Rain's founder-producer, spoke with Alan Pitts, W1AGP, the media and public relations manager for the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League.
As your listeners have heard on the various news reports, this isn't working, that isn't working, communications isn't working, electricity is not working. So where you get to wondering what is working, and the answer to that is amateur radio, and it's been noticed by the national press and a whole lot of our served agencies. There's no doubt that the recovery efforts following this hurricane are going to be one of the largest activities ever undertaken, not just by amateur radio, but by the entire emergency response community of the United States. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. Right now, there are approximately 500 amateur operators who are in the Gulf region working with agencies and supporting around the immediate area. They have not been able to get into many of the devastated areas simply because it's too dangerous. Very recently, President Haney of the ARRL put out a statement correctly saying, wait, get ready, don't go charging in there playing Lone Ranger. As of Friday afternoon, we are starting now to get the official calls from Red Cross National, and we are asking amateur radio operators to contact their SECs and the section managers, who will be in turn in touch with the ARRL. What do we have available? We're going to start bringing people on in, but we have to do it in an organized way, and we will do that working with the SECs, who are the coordinators for their sections, so that we get the right people in the right place with the right equipment to make a difference in this. It's going to take a long time. Amateur operators are going to be volunteering into some situations which are, they will be safe, absolutely they will be safe, but they will be uncomfortable in some cases. This is going to be hardship tours. There are efforts already being done by the ARRL to see if there is ways that we can aid amateur radio operators in reporting to the marshalling areas that we will be setting up. That may be getting you aid and support and finding gasoline and all the other instruments and things that provide the logistics for such a movement. It will need to be probably the largest mobilization of amateur radio in history, and we are looking forward to working through our field organization and the section managers to make it possible, as our job is, for the people like the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the VOED groups, and others to do their job. Historically, we've always been the man behind the curtain. We're the ones that make it possible for the others to act. A lot of times they get the headlines for that. I know that. I'm privy to a lot of the conversations that are happening among the staff here and with those section managers, leaders, and the hams all over the country. And I'll truly say I have never been prouder of being part of this community than I have been these last couple of days. The staff here, we're very tired, no question. There's been a lot going on, but we know we're doing the right things and good things. At this particular point, we're now calling on the amateur radio operators who are able to travel and have the training to contact and get a hold of their SECs, work through them. The SECs, in turn, will work with the ARRL, will set things up for transportation and ways of convoying into what will be set up as marshalling areas, which then will actually go into some of the recovery areas and sites to provide emergency communications to the organizations that are finally starting to be able to get into some of these areas.
What about those who are not members of the league?
You do not have to be a member of the ARRL to be working with Aries. What we are more concerned with is that they have the training that is needed for emergency communications. Someone that is not an ARRL member, that has no training whatsoever, that just decides, well, they want a free trip south, we may take them. But they will be paired up with someone who has training, and the people that are trained are the ones that are going to be the team leaders and be in charge of things. It is a very interesting coincidence that it's this week that the grant, which allowed us to put out the emergency communications levels 1, 2, and 3 courses that have trained so many thousands of amateur radio operators around the country, it's this week that that grant finally ended for the CCEP program. And now we're seeing the rubber meet the road. This is where it comes into play. And it could be amateur radio's finest hour if our people will do what they know how to do. After all, we're hams. We'll figure this out.
I'm speaking today with Alan Pitts, W1AGP, the Media and Public Relations Manager for the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League. We'll be right back. This is the Rain Report.
You're listening to RainReport.com, the only authorized internet source for Rain audio.
Let's talk a little bit about how hams should deal with nets that they run into, especially on HF. What are some of the do's and don'ts?
One of the biggest parts is listen before you start talking. If you do not have traffic for the net, please just simply do not transmit. Just listen. If you have traffic for the net, approach it in a professional, orderly way. Wait until the net manager is ready to receive you or calls for further check-ins or whatever it may be. The last thing that you want to do is to just go busting on into a net. We've had situations where somebody, it was a big thing and just comes crashing on in, and it turned out that he almost wiped out what truly was an emergency message, and it was just something, don't you know that there are babies dying or something like that? Excuse me, there was other traffic on the net that really had emergency or priority traffic at the time. I do know, bluntly, the FCC is monitoring these nets, and they're taking names. So those people who are intentionally tuning up on or next to the frequencies are causing trouble. The FCC is monitoring them. We've had a call here from Chairman Martin of the FCC, which is really kind of nice for the FCC to be calling the ARRL and simply say to us, tell us what you need, we'll make it happen. So we are asking people, listen to these nets. If you can help in something that needs to be done or are asked, they put out a call for help, then come on up, yes, but don't just go breaking into the net, and please stay wide of the nets. Every now and then, I'm not on their frequency. Well, the answer is you may be real close, because remember, some of these people are working with only emergency equipment with nothing more than a wire and a tray. They don't have the big antennas at this point in the amplifiers. They're running barefoot with dying batteries, so please stay well clear of the frequencies. If you're looking for lists of the frequencies, you can go to the ARRL's website. It's up links on off the front page. But the biggest thing is be a gentleman, be a lady, listen before you do anything. And please don't use Vox. We've had too many people with all good intentions. We've all done it. You've done it. I've done it. We've all done it. Accidentally left the dang Vox on when we didn't mean to. Well, in this particular case, please do not use Vox. All it takes is one oops, and it could be an emergency or priority message that gets wiped out, and you'll never even know you did it. But it has caused some problems. People mean well, but we make mistakes.
As we speak in the evening of September 2nd of 2005, is the FCC considering designating specific frequencies for emergency communication purposes?
There has been communication from the FCC. What you're actually probably thinking of is what's called an emergency declaration, which the FCC used to do. At this particular point, they have stated that they did not see a need for that. I understand that a few people have questioned that. That is far beyond my scope of expertise. However, I will say that it has been considered by the FCC, but they adopted a policy approximately a year ago that they were not going to be doing the emergency declarations like they had been doing in the past. That policy may need to be reconsidered after this event is over, but I don't see that happening right now.
Regarding the grant, is that grant being applied for again or going to be renewed?
Well, actually, that grant was renewed. It started out as a one-year thing working with United Technologies, and because right here in Connecticut it was so successful, then it was expanded and continued for a couple of years and went and expanded around the country. So that already has been done. Again, that also may get reconsidered following this situation here, but right now I do not know of any plans to do that. It may happen. But right now, all heads are in another direction, which is actually applying all those skills that were learned during that grant period. I want to thank you, Hap, for the chance to talk with you, and hopefully through you talking with many of the hams. Hopefully decades from now, this will be seen, as Winston Churchill may have called it, our finest hour. Indeed, we have opportunities right now. You may or may not see it, but I can promise you we do have the attention of the national and the world press. It's now time for amateur radio operators to be and do what we can do. We know how to do it. It's just a case of getting the job done. I want to say thank you to all those operators who already have been doing so much in so many places, from Texas through Florida all the way out to Colorado. I'm real proud to be a ham right now.
That was Hap Holly, KC9RP, speaking with ARRL Media and Public Relations Manager Alan Pitts, W1AGP, about ham radio's involvement in the tragic aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Editorial note, at least the hams didn't wait 4 days to get involved in helping our beleaguered friends down south, as did our federal government. Now for Hap Holly, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, bidding you very 73 from all of us at RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990 through 2005, RAIN, all rights reserved.